chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Praise the Lord. Now we're coming to the seven verses of chapter 1. We're making progress as a church. How about that? Verses 6 and 7 of Romans chapter 1. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For the past few weeks, as you've been coming to church, if you're new, I'm sure you will pick up on this as we just go through the summary of what we've done for the past few weeks. But you will know that we talk about the Apostle Paul, his calling, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the theme of his letter. And through how we receive that gospel, and through whom, and for what purpose. And so we work through those verses, and we touch a little bit about the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. And last Sunday, we talked about faith, the connection between faith and works, that we realize that it is not separated, but faith and obedience go hand in hand. And in fact, it is the obedience of faith. So when we say we believe, God gave us the power and the calling at the same time to be his people, to obey God, and to give our lives to him. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, our new master, our new owner. So we touch a little bit, I would say, on the key themes of Paul in those salvation, the gospel, and our calling. But this morning, we're going to come into not abandoning the doctrinal statements, the theological statement, but rather something personal. Personal in which when you get letter, if you still write letters today, this is more like texting day, texting with your smartphones or using your Facebook messages or social medias on all forms. But if you still write letters, if your children, if you have children in college and different places living far off and you still get letters, this is like a personal letter that you will receive from your own children or your loved ones. Like, for example, dear dad, send money. Because that's personal, right? It's intimate. We don't have to say much. I mean, you got it. You know who wrote the letter and where it's coming from and the purpose of it and the action that will require of it. Your response might be, who are you? But this morning, this letter is not something like so simple as, dear people, you are loved. But Paul letters to the Christian in Rome. And he said in verse 6, he said, and you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And let's stay there for a moment. In verse 6, he said, and you, my friends, Christians, you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Wow, what a grace. What a grace of God working through that the Gentiles are included in God's salvation plans and that they are called to belong to Jesus Christ. As you know, the history when Paul wrote this, this is about AD 58, 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he wrote this letter to the church of Rome, the Christians in Rome, whom he never met. At this point, Paul never been to Rome. He wanted to be there. So he wrote this letter intimately and said, you are the one who are Gentiles, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. So we know that Paul didn't know them, in a sense, personally, but it's so personal enough that he knew them. He knew that they belong to Jesus Christ. So we have to ask these questions. If Paul didn't start the church, how come he knew them so much in this detail, so personally, that they are the one also who are included in the household of God and the grace of God, and they are called to belong to Jesus Christ? Biblical scholars have agreed, in spite of church traditions, that Paul did not start this church because Paul never been there at this point of Rome, in Rome, nor Peter. Peter did not start the church in Rome. So we ask the questions, then who start the Christian church in Rome? Who called this Gentile to belong to Jesus Christ? You know, if you go back to the text in Acts 2, remember there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as people from all nations gather, Jews and those who are converted to Judaism, and came to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Pentecost, and people were there, and then the heavens opened, and then tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit came down and rest on them, and they received power, and then they were able to speak in different tongues, and they glorify God, and they were filled in awe, and they praise God, they worship, and from then on, the church multiplied. I mean, believers were added day by day as they fellowship, and throughout the book of Acts, and these people, according to a biblical scholar, that they went back to Rome, where they came from, and began starting, having a church, a gathering of people, a worship of believers. But it's very possible that Paul, in one of his missions and his work, that he might have ministered, or he could have ministered, or he would share the word he witnessed to this people, even though he did not know them. But they went back to Rome and dared to be a church, dared to belong to God, to be a part of God's family in the city of Rome at that time. And those of you history buffer, or those who are so knowledgeable about history, you would know Rome and the Roman Emperor and Caesar at that time. And you know, the thought of that being, even though it is the period of which there's some sort of peace in the land, but you know, you are in the most powerful city, the most influential city, the emperor, the capital city of the emperor, the Roman Emperor. To be a Christian in those days, to be called to belong to Jesus Christ, in the midst of community and nations and city, where power is about everything. And if you could tell, if you study in the places, the palaces, the marble buildings, and the wonderful awe of these treasures of Rome, I mean, the focuses of life on idols and all that they gather. I mean, to be godly servants, to be faithful people in those days. Imagine that. That's precisely the point where Paul wants to encourage these Christians. That in the most unexpected places like Rome, where the city with its all power, its all glory, and its all splendors were there, but also the city full with sin and vices, and a city that had no God but Caesar was the clear God. Paul dared to say to them, you people, the Gentiles, you are called by God. It is not of your doing, but you are called. You're called to belong to Jesus Christ. Men and women, I want to encourage you once again, as we live our lives in 2016, in this day and age, in our world, in our community, you and I are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We just have a testimony a little bit about Fred and how you came to know the Lord, how you've been baptized in different traditions, and yet you joined the church and you rededicated your life to Christ in the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of your struggle. But you dare to claim that Jesus is Lord. You dare to claim that God is your God. That you dare to give your commitment to belong to Him by joining the local church. Friend, we thank you for that. We thank you for that commitment. But you see, we all have this different calling, a moment of callings and a point of encounter with God. That may be that you heard some sermon from either a speaker or a pastor or a teacher or a leader, that your heart was so convicted, the Holy Spirit drawn you and you say, I believe in God. It may be that you read some Christian books. It may be that you read, you listened to Christian music, or you attended some conferences or some events. Or it may be that you've been coming to faithfully to the church and one day the Holy Spirit just opened the heavens and the floodgates of heaven and grant you the knowledge and the wisdom and the convictions to know the Lord. And then you realize it is not what you have done. It is not what you will do. It is not what you have left undone. It is not that you decided who you are and what you are going to be. But in the grace and mercy of the Lord, you realize that God is the one who called you and who called you to belong to Him. Can we say amen to that? That is the good news, people, that we are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And moving along, Paul said in verse 7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be His holy people. Not only we are called by God to know Him, to love Him, to worship Him as our Savior and Lord. He is calling us to be holy people. That means in verses and say some translation, some versions said to be saints. To be saints. To be holy people. Imagine that. God called us to be saints. To be holy people in thy sight. Now, this is not in a different sector of our church tradition that calls saints. Saints by your hard work and your work of compassion and charity and your good works that you become you achieve a certain level of spirituality and that you receive the rank of to be honored as saints. So there are different sectors of church that recognize it. But in this context in the Bible and also in Romans, that not only a specific people, individual, but all those who are in Rome, those are Christians, the church in Rome, are called to be saints. And my friends, you and I are also called to be saints. You and I are called to be holy people, to be set apart for God, to be set apart, to be separated from the world. So we have to ask, what are we and who is calling us to be holy? And what's the purpose of God calling us to be holy? And we don't have to look any farther than that. Just to go back to the text itself, that it is the gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are need to be set apart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that our lives, our works, our being will tell us that we are His people and that He called us to share that gospel and that good news even before God, even before we knew God, even before we could even say God, even before we could say Heavenly Father. God has already put in advance that calling, that works to be holy people for holy purposes. For the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before the beginning of time. That's the good news. That's grace. That's mercy. That's love. Not only God called us to know Him, to love Him, but He gave us a purpose to be holy, to be set apart. Here's what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 to 9 says. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace you have been received expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 7 of Ephesians 2. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. This is God's kindness, people. It is through his kindness that he called us to belong to him. It is God's kindness that he gave us a purpose, a holy purpose, to be saints, to be holy in his sight, to be separated for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is all because of the act, the kindness and the compassion of Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved, verse 8, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God's prepared in advance for us to do. God's prepared for us in advance, even before we were born. This is God's grace, this is God's mercy, this is God's kindness. No wonder Paul conclude this letter in this text right here, verse 1 to 7, with this then, verse 7. This should really be two verses. But he said, grace and peace to you from our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jim and Carrie, can just put up one more time with those verses, verse 6 and 7, please. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to spend a few minutes right here, folks. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace to you. This is not a general greeting. Remember, this is a letter. Dear people, dear Christians. But Paul dared to end this letter with this charge. Grace and peace to you. Men and women, don't we need grace? That's what the world needs. That's what you and I need the most. We need grace. Not grace from just like another human being or another institution. Sometimes that helps. But grace from God. We need God's grace. And someone has said, and we have been defined as grace, is God unmerited favor. We don't earn this. It is a gift to those who are undeserving. We don't deserve this. We deserve the opposite. We talked about it last week. We deserve God's wrath. But precisely because of his kindness, his compassion, he gave us his grace in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. And because of that grace, we now have this power. Grace is not just something that we experience and say, whoopee, it's a good feeling. Now I receive grace. But with grace, we have the power. It is also the unmerited power to live for him. When we have God's grace through Jesus Christ, you know the next thing that's followed? Is we are going to have peace. We are going to have God's peace. The shalom, the wholeness of our body, soul, and mind. That we will be at peace with God. Our souls will be at rest. And St. Augustine once said, a man who was converted to Christianity by reading the letter of Romans, he said, our souls are restless until they rest in God. When you receive God's grace, realizing that it is not because of who you are and what you do, but because of God's kindness, he has loved you, he has called you to belong to him, that you will receive his peace. The peace of God. That you're no longer living under the wrath of God, the judgment of God, but now you're set free, free indeed. And that you not only you have the peace of God, that there will be peace within. Where there are storms, physical, spiritual, emotional storms, but when you truly have the grace and peace and received it, you will have everything. The hope, the joy, the love, and the rest. I literally mean rest, resting, the Sabbath. You will have the rest in God. Isn't why precisely Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. Who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. That's God's invitations. Psalm 91 verse 1 said, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. When you have grace and peace from God, you will be at rest. You will have the peace of God. And you will have the peace within. In spite of your circumstances, in spite of the chances, the worries, the troubles, the challenges, you would know a Savior who calmed the storms, who is the Lord over over nature, over demons, over sickness, the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, He reigns. You would recognize that. And that's what Paul longed for the church to remember. Grace and peace to you and for us too today. Those are the two things that we need the most. And interesting that Paul didn't say, grace and peace to you from me. But he said, grace and peace to you from God. Who? From our Father. Men and women, God's grace covers the whole world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. But not the world, the whole world can claim that God is the Heavenly Father. Only Christian can. When you became to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you have the privilege and the right, the awesomeness of calling God as our Heavenly Father. Imagine that. God is not just a God who's sitting up in heaven. He is a God, our Heavenly Father. Do you realize the nearness of God? The intimacy and the relationship that we have with God? He is not just a mighty and powerful God, but He is our Father. He's our Heavenly Father who knows all our needs even before we can ask Him, even before we can name Him. No wonder why Jesus had come to me, who are weary and heavy laden, heavy burden. I will give you rest. For God is our Father. And Paul added, next to God our Father is the one who is the equal God. Not lesser, but the equal God. Because you don't put someone else next to God and say God and this person. But when Paul said grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is telling the Christian in Rome and us today that Jesus Christ is God, equal to God. So whatever Jesus says, whatever Jesus speaks, whatever Jesus is telling us, it is God telling us. So what does Jesus say? Because we are loved by God, we are called to be saints. Jesus said in John chapter 15 verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to remain in Jesus Christ in order to have grace and peace, in order to share that grace and peace with others, live in the knowledge and the experience of love. We must receive His grace and His peace and receive it greatly as God gives us generously. Then we will need to remember the word of the Lord and live it. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me, I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Having Jesus, you have everything. Your joy, peace, love, hope. The opposite is also true. Not having Jesus, you don't have joy, you don't have peace, you don't have love, you don't have hope. And Paul would go farther down in Romans that not only not having Jesus is not just losing those benefits. According to Paul, according to scriptures, not having Jesus is you're living as the enemies of God. That's the warning. You're living under the wrath of God. Who wants to do that? I don't want to do that, folks. Every Sunday when I come, I want to be set free. I want to joy shout, hallelujah, I'm free, I'm free. I don't want to do a thing more to be saved. I am saved by Christ, but out of my natural love for God, I would want to do good things for the glory of God. But sometimes we get so busy, we have so many things to do in life, and then churches could be another place to where the list goes on and added on that we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do more, more, more. And we got not only refreshed in our spirit, where Christ has already paid the price to set us free and to call us to be holy and living in his love, we get burnt out, we get exhausted, we get tired, we get worried, and we get irritated, and no wonder we can't be effective Christian out there because we're already exhausted in church, in community, in the faith. And it happened a lot of times, folks, not just here, but churches. That's why we need to recognize that Jesus is once again calling us to say, hey, my grace and my peace is for you, from God our Father, our Heavenly Father, those Christian who call God as the Heavenly Father. This is for you and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you go through your week today and the next few weeks until we meet again, as you feel like maybe perhaps you're sitting in the prison like Paul, but you got to look out for it and that hope and that peace and say, where is this hope and this peace and this joy coming from? Remember Paul's word in Philippians 4:13. What's that say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who give me strength. Jesus said, we can do nothing. We can do nothing apart from him. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, who strengthens us. You are loved by God and you are called to be saints, holy people, separated for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your faith, your life, your calling, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.